contained had gone. Every one of them represented a musician down on his luck. There was a pool of light in a grove of bassoons. The old lady was deeply asleep in a rocking chair with a tangle of knitting on her lap and a shawl around her shoulders.
Claude?
Claude jumped.
Yes, what? Why are we here? We know the place exists now.
Grab some ceiling, hooligans!
Claude blinked at the crossbow bolt pricking the end of his nose and raised his hands. The old lady had gone from asleep to firing stance without apparently passing through any intermediate stage.
"This is the best I can do," he said. "The door wasn't locked, you see, and—"
"So you thought you could rob a poor, defenceless old lady?"
"Not at all, not at all. In fact, we—"
"I belongs to the neighbourhood witch scheme, I do. One word from me and you'll be hopping around looking for some princess with an amphibian fixation."
"I think this has gone far enough,"
said Cliff. He reached down and his huge hand closed over the bow. He squeezed. Bits of wood oozed between his fingers.
"We're quite harmless," he said. "We've come about that instrument you sold our friend last week."
"Are you the watch?"
Claude bowed.
"No, ma'am. We're musicians."
"That's supposed to make me feel better, is it? What instrument are you talking about?"
"A kind of guitar."
The old woman put her head on one side. Her eyes narrowed.
"I won't take it back, you know," she said. "It was sold fair and square. Good working condition, too."
"We just want to know where you got it from."
"Never got it from nowhere," said the old lady. "It's always been here. Don't blow that."
Claude nearly dropped the flute he'd nervously picked up from the debris.
"Or we'll be knee-deep in rats," said the old lady.
She turned back to Cliff.
"It's always been here," she repeated.
"It's got a one chalked on it," said Claude.
"It's always been here," said the woman, "ever since I had the shop."
"Who brought it in?"
"How should I know? I never asks their name. People don't like that, they just get the number."
Claude looked at the flute. There was a yellowing tag attached to it, on which the number 431 had been scrawled. He stared along the shelves behind the makeshift counter. There was a pink conch shell. That had a number on it, too. He moistened his lips and reached out.
"If you blow that, you just better have a sacrificial virgin and a big cauldron of breadfruit and turtle meat standing by," said the old lady.
There was a trumpet next to it. It looked amazingly untarnished.
"And this one," he said, "it'll make the world end and the sky fall on me if I give it a tootle, will it?"
"Interesting you should say that," said the old lady.
Claude lowered his hand, and then something else caught his eye.
"Good grief," he said. "Is that still here? I'd forgotten about that."
"What is it?"
said Cliff, and then looked where Claude was pointing.
"That.
We've got some money. Why not?"
"Yeah, it might help. But you know what Buddy said. We'd never be able to find...
It's a big city, and if you can't find it in Ankh-Morpork, you can't find it anywhere."
Claude picked up half a drumstick and looked thoughtfully at a gong half buried in a pile of music stands.
"I shouldn't," said the old lady. "Not if you don't want 777 skeletal warriors springing out of the earth."
Claude pointed.
"We'll take this.
$2.
"Hey, why should we pay anything? It's not as though it's yours."
"Pay up," said Cliff with a sigh. "Don't negotiate."
Claude handed over the money with bad grace, snatched the bag the old lady gave him, and strutted out of the shop.
"Fascinating stock you have here," said Cliff, staring at the gong.
The old lady shrugged. "My friend's a bit annoyed because he thought you one of those mysterious shops you hear about in folk tales," Cliff went on. "You know, here today, gone tomorrow. He was looking for you on the other side of the road."
"Sounds daft to me,"
said the old lady, in a voice to discourage any further unseemly levity. Cliff glanced at the gong again, shrugged and followed Claude. The woman waited until their footsteps had died away in the fog. And then she opened the door and peered up and down the street. Apparently satisfied by its abundance of emptiness, she went back to her counter and reached for a curious lever underneath. Her eyes glowed green for a moment.
"Oh, forget my own head next," she said and pulled.
There was a grinding of hidden machinery. The shop vanished. A moment later, It reappeared.